Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Off the Beaten Track, a podcast that highlights local racetracks, drivers, owners, and more. To join the show live, call 646-668-8461. That's 646-668-8461. And now, here's your host, they call him the NASCAR guy, Nate Webster.
And welcome into this episode of Off the Beaten Track. My guest tonight is a little delayed. His name is Jonathan Bird II. He's the president of Indianapolis Speedrome. And I'm waiting for him to call in on the air. In the meantime, I will go over a little bit about the Speedrome and the history of it. Let's see here, hold on. The Speedrome is opening April 1st. To a new expansion by Jonathan Bird and Kevin Garrigus, the owner of the Speedrome. Let me read a little bit about their story. There have been more changes at the 76-year-old racetrack in the Indianapolis Speedrome in the last 4 months than in the last two decades. My guest is now with us on the air, Jonathan Bird II. Welcome to Off the Beaten Track.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. And thanks. It's just amazing what's happening at the Speedrome, and I really appreciate letting me be able to talk to all your listeners about it.
That's awesome, Jonathan. So, again, the Indianapolis Speedrome has gone through major changes, more changes in the last 4 months than it has in the last 20 years. All thanks to its new owner, Kevin Garrigus, and its new track president, my guest for tonight's show, Jonathan Bird II. Jonathan, let's start by talking about the history of the Speedrome, which is believed to be the oldest figure eight track in the country.
That's correct. And the Speedrome was built in 1941 as a midget track. And then after the war, it was just getting ready to go into its second season, but the war broke out, World War II. So then going forward, when the track reopened after the war, the sport of figure eight racing was invented just a couple of years later. And so the Speedrome figure eight racing is just it's a well huge intertwined history with racing. And even back in those days, there was also a lot of famous race car drivers who made their way to Indianapolis, who raced the Speedrome: Mario Andretti, AJ Foyt, Tony Bettenhausen, and even into the more of the modern times, Darrell Waltrip drove for my father back in 1984. There was also Tony Stewart won his very first USAC race. Justin Allgaier, who just won the Xfinity race, raced at the Speedrome for many years as he was coming up the ranks as well. The kid who won the Daytona truck race also was a Speedrome competitor back a few years ago as well. So it's just kind of history there. But, you know, when it's all said and done, what we're known for is our figure eight cars, our late models who ride on the oval and the figure eight. They're unlimited horsepower machines, cost between $50,000-$60,000 a piece. And they are just the most unique race cars in the world. They look like rocket ships. And there's nothing like the World Figure Eight Championship each and every season to cap off a fantastic year, a three-hour endurance race. It's the most unique race in the entire world.
Mm-hmm. Now, I had mentioned in the beginning of the show, just before you called in, that Kevin Garrigus had been involved in racing since his childhood. So this move to buy the Speedway and revamp it made a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, you know, I think he was somebody who definitely didn't want to see the racetrack fail. The last 3 years were kind of challenging with the ownership of the racetrack, and And he had the opportunity, having struck up a friendship with the previous owners. They approached him about buying the racetrack from them during the season last year. So he has he was into racing, of course, because recently as a car owner for his son, but his son decided he didn't want to race anymore. But he was still running cars for a couple of the well-heeled drivers, the family members of the Speedrome family, the Tunney family, and his one driver, Jesse Tunney, won the track championship for the third year in a row. And then Jesse's younger brother Austin was a World Figure Eight champion this past year. So it was just basically Kevin Garrett just saved the Speedrome from perhaps ruin. You know, I think that without Kevin, I don't think we would definitely not have the enthusiasm that we have right now from the competitors, the fans, the support of the racetrack, and especially close to $500,000 in improvements that he's put in already. We've had such great weather here in Indiana this past winter, across the whole country, that we probably fit 2 years of our three-year plan into this off season. So as we are just 11 or 12 days here from opening day, we have we're going to be finishing those projects that we started, but we're getting really close to being ready for opening day. That excites the fans, where we're going to have a $5 admission for everybody, all adults, and $2 for kids 9 to 12, to welcome everybody back to the 76th season of racing at the Indianapolis Speedrome.
Right. And the track improvements you guys plan look impressive. Added seating, a new sound system, remodeled bathrooms, the list goes on and on. What else is in store to draw fans to the Speedrome?
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, when you talk about racetracks and what people are looking for, especially in the entertainment side of the business, and entertainment with, a family entertainment, you know, you're expecting great food, clean concessions, clean restroom facilities, a program that moves along really quickly. So those things were kind of missing the past few years at the Speedrome. So those things are going to be improved. I was actually the track concessionaire back in 2012 and 2013. So part of my job is to renovate and reinvigorate the concessions operations. So very much well known that we didn't have long lines, and we had great food, fast service, the best prices in town for any arena, sporting a complex as well. And then our parking is free. The brand new fencing that people, when you come to the Speedrome, you see this bright red fence. We also have installing right now 570 stadium style seats that will be on our front stretch. And that's going to be really a shock and awe type of thing for the fans. I assume they'll be running like the running of the bulls to get to those seats every night when the gates open, to make sure they have real stadium-style seats to get to the front stretch. And, of course, the new restroom facilities that we've done, every toilet in the place has completely been torn out and replaced. A lot of the partitions, actual new facilities. We've got LED lighting in all the restrooms, and they're brighter and clean, and we're going to have people going through them each and every day, each and every hour throughout the entire night. So that's always going to be great. We're going to have clean crews picking up trash throughout the evening as well. And then when you see the racing itself, there's going to be a renewed emphasis on the program moving along. Like the Speedrome has always been well known for, is that they always have a program that moves along. We've got America's best short track crew who keep the drivers safe and keep the racetrack cleaned up throughout the night, and with six different divisions, you've got to get everything done. And we just made an announcement a couple days ago that we are moving all of our April racing to 6 o'clock starts as well. We're just kind of trying to catch some of the warmer weather at the beginning of the night, and let everybody have. And we should try still move our program a 3-hour window, and kind of have a promise that the figure eight's not going to start too late for all the kids to be able to stay up and watch the figure eight.
Right. Now, your family, the Byrd family, has quite a reputation in the hospitality and racing industries. The National Speedway Directory has even taken notice to your commitment to this track. You even promised same-day purses for all of your drivers. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, our purse structure is very fair. It's really great. And for the first time, I couldn't tell you how long, if it's ever been the way, we will actually pay the drivers who've earned money on the night, at the end of the night. So it used to be a week-long delay. Well, now we're going to be paying the drivers and their teams at the pay window each and every night. So that's that helps the drivers. You know, they don't have to wait a week to get their money. That help them come out to the racetrack as well. And along with helping teams as well, which is something you've never heard of in Harley and short track racing, is we actually lowered our pit pass prices. It was $30 last year. It's $25 now to get in the pit. So we've kind of rolled back the pricing from 4 or 5 years ago to that. And then we lowered our ticket prices on our front stretch for our adults prices. We went from $12 to $10. We also added, and I'm sorry to kind of go back and forth with a couple of things, we actually added a discount for senior citizens and for military and for first responders.
Yep.
They just have to show their ID to get that $8 admission as well. You know, doing everything that we can get everybody to, you know, to come out to the racetrack, you know, between the drivers, the fans, and even get the new fans who either haven't come to the Speedrome in years or have never been to the Speedrome and haven't heard of us before. We're going
right.
to get those people and, you know, we're a racing town, but we should have, you know, 2,000-3,000 people a night. You know, that's a bad hockey crowd. That's a bad soccer crowd, but for a racetrack, that needs to be what we need to be aiming for. So that's what,
right.
that's really a, my vision is for the Indianapolis Speedrome is to be like Bowman Gray Stadium. And Bowman Gray,
yeah.
if you're familiar with Bowman Gray out in Winston-Salem, you know, when they get 18,000 people every Saturday night, well, they've got a product that I believe is inferior to our product, even though it's as exciting and those people love it. We've got the figure eight, and we've got the most unique racing in the entire world.
Now, Jonathan, there's something that I read about in a story when I was prepping for the show. You want to be known as the type of track that is in comparison to something called
Victory Field.
Victory
yeah.
Field, where the Indians
yeah.
play.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You want it to be a track that compares to them.
Yeah, and Victory Field, for those who aren't familiar, Indianapolis here, where we're located, has a AAA baseball team that's been around for 100 or so years, and they moved into a new stadium downtown 20 years ago called Victory Field. And for the past 20 years, it has been voted on to be America's best minor league ballpark. And so, you know, baseball, it's a little bit of a different situation with governments helping fund and all that sort of stuff. It's a beautiful facility, and the family who run the Indians organization, they do a fantastic job. And so what I'd like for us to be able to be like is that we're going to be like a minor league ballpark. We're just going to be happening to be playing race cars instead of baseball at our ballpark. And so people,
right.
when they come out, when they see the nice facility and the great concessions areas and the restroom facilities, and you just want to come out on a Saturday night, you know, if you want to choose between baseball or racing, you know, the same type of atmosphere exists, the same type of you're coming out to have a good time. The pricing, our pricing is going to be better. Our concessions prices are going to be better. You don't have to pay the park like you do when you have to go downtown, but you're going to have the same type of experience. The fan experience is very, very, very good, as well as the product on the field. And our field just happens to be a racetrack. And guys going around in circles aren't going around bases. They're going around marker tires. And they're also, instead of going around the bases every time, sometimes our drivers go from first to second to third, back to the second, and back to home, and first and third, and
yeah,
back and
right.
forth like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. So you were talking about the prices as you track. And many tracks have to raise prices to cover the cost of expansion and upgrades. but you actually lowered your prices, and you touched on it earlier. Talk about the deals that you're going to offer fans of all ages and even those in uniform.
Absolutely. I appreciate you bringing that up again because it's such an important thing for people to understand and what we're looking at doing. And my owner, Kevin Garrigus, he's committed to this process. You know, he told me and gave me great comfort that he wasn't planning on making any money the first 3 years. He knew that the investment that he had to make had to be done, and that he'd expect the long-term payoff for years to come. So and when I was growing up, I worked at our family's restaurant called Jonathan Burns Cafeteria, and I could always hear my dad saying to me and talking about when he did different specials and different coupon ideas and different things that every 2 to 3 years, John, you got to buy the business back. You got to buy the business back. And what he meant was you got to do the things to get, you know, the people who kind of just went away from you, they forgot about you. And you do something crazy, something big, something incredible with the prices, offers, specials to get the people back in the door so that when they do come back and you show them a fantastic, in the restaurant business, the food is great, your service is great, the cleanliness is there, then they'll come back to you when you're at full prices or something like that. So in much the same way, I believe our philosophy is the same, that, you know, we're trying to buy the business back as well. We're trying to get those people who haven't been to the Speedrome in years, who thought that wasn't a good value. Well, we're giving them a great value now. You know, the opening night, April Fool's Day, we're not fooling. Half price admission for adults, $5 to get in, $2 for kids. During the entire regular season, all of our regular season Saturday night races are going to be $10 to get in, and that's a fantastic price, of course. And we've actually raised our children's price. It used to be 5 and under were free. Well, now we're saying 8 and under are free. 9 to 12-year-olds now get to – we added a year of the child's price. So that's also going to help a family of four to come out for maybe only $30, $25, $20, depending on the age of the kids to come out. Right. And then I told you about, in the pit prices, the competitors, those in the uniform, they're going to pay a little bit less as well. We've lowered our prices for our tires. We want guys to be able – we're just trying to remove every excuse or every impediment for the race car driver to come out, because that's our product. We need those people that they spend their hard-earned money every week to come out and go racing. And if we can make it so that it's easier for them to come racing, well, heck, we're lowering our price of gas even as well. So we make those things available as a convenience. We do the things we have to do to make sure that people can come and race and not have to feel like they can't compete. They come out to have fun. This is their hobby. This is their golf. And so we want them to come out and have a good time.
And especially when you mentioned that about paying the purses the same night, these drivers live week to week on being able to have that money to buy fuel and oil and tires and equipment and, you know, helmets, roll cages, and fire suits and stuff like that that they have to replace year after year. They need that money right then and there to revamp their outfits and their cars and everything else so they can be competitive week to week. So that's a good thing that you're going to be doing on that aspect of it. And you have a big ad campaign intended to market the track. What does that involve?
Well, you know, the advertising for the racetrack the past few years has pretty much been non-existent. You know, we had a Facebook page, and, you know, the hard workers who worked at the racetrack, you know, they just did their best with what they had every year. And so, you know, we understand that we're going to have to utilize some traditional media, whether it's television, radio, newspaper, local newspapers, and also in implement as well as embrace the social media capabilities that we had never had in the past. So maybe spending money with Facebook, spending money with some different opportunities for social media, and just also just doing the things that don't cost anything. Going to the things to do sections and just submitting that the Speedrome has racing Saturday night. And they just put that stuff up for free and trying to create strategic partnerships with different media companies as well, whether it's a television station, whether it's radio, whether it's the newspaper in town or local newspapers around little cities around the Speedrome, and just coming up with the different ideas and that, you know, it's, it makes it a win-win for not only the racetrack, but also for our partners.
Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, dare to say even a local podcast can help you out as well, too.
That's correct. So we're going to embrace all those things. And you know, we want to tell the story. We want to tell everybody about the Speedrome. I mean, I can't tell you how many times when I talk to people about how, you know, I'm the president of the Speedrome, the general manager. They're like, Speedrome, I've been there since I was a kid, and I'm talking to 40 and 50-year-olds who are telling you this. I'm like, come on, the Speedrome's been around for so many years, and the racing is good as ever. I mean, I tell people, you know, I've been watching Speedrome racing for 35 years now, and I still will jump out of my seat for an incredible close, you know, intersection, you know, maneuver at the figure eight, at the crossover. I mean, it is great. It's low-cost entertainment. It's fun to do on a Saturday night. It's great people watching. I mean, there's so many positive aspects about the Speedrome that make it entertaining. You know, I mean, we definitely can compete with the movies and the sporting events and all the entertainment options out there. We just got to tell our story and get it out that people know that we're out here, that there's this little gem of a racetrack on the southeast side of Indianapolis. We are 10 minutes from downtown. I mean, there's so many cool aspects about that that just haven't been told. And, you know, I understand I'm a businessman as well. I understand that old ownership, they didn't have to do those types of things. And they still made their money. They were happy. Well, I just see bigger and greater things for the racetrack. And that if you just take the time to invest and take the time to tell your story and bring other passionate people on board with you, that you can, the Speedrome can be a Bowman Gray Stadium type of place here for the next 3 to 5 years.
And finally, one last question before we wrap it up. What kind of sponsorships are you looking for to ensure the future growth of the track?
Well, that's great. And we love to kind of be creative with our advertising and our sponsorship partnerships. We don't really try to call people sponsors. We do try to call them partners. And so, you know, I've done a lot of advertising sales for the racetrack since 2002. And so I've kind of been the creator of some of the things that we've done in the past. So I believe that the Speedrome was the very first short track in Indiana. I know in Indiana, we were the first track to have a title sponsor, a short track. I want to say that, and I haven't ever seen it differently, that I don't think a short track in the country had a title sponsor. And, you know, before 2003, that's when we had our first title sponsor. So title sponsorship, trying to find that entitlement sponsorship that's, you know, is something that can, you know, look outside of a 3-year window, but try to come up with something that's that generational 20-year type of sponsorship, the type that you see with Lucas Oil Stadium, or just finding the right partner for that. Of course, our divisional sponsorships, our nightly sponsorships, the sponsorship for our World Figure Eight Championship, the sponsorship, you know, for our newest events that we've created. We're going to have Monster Truck Show in June for the first time, June 3rd and June 4th. We have our new 90-minute race that we've got created for the night before the 500 called the Spring Shootout, which is going to be run underneath the World Figure Eight rules package, running on the big tires and all the unlimited things that the World Figure Eight cars can do. So that's going to be a lot of fun as well. So you know, all those opportunities are available. And then, you know, what's so great about racing in the Speedrome and just in general is that we can be as creative as we want to be. There is no box. You know, people say, think outside the box. Well, look, there is no box, because it's whatever you want to do, come up with something really fun and creative, exciting, that works for your business. And so that's the types of things that we're doing. You know, I honestly haven't pushed sponsorship too hard this off season like I would have had in the past, because this off season has all been about creating the racetrack and getting it ready to go for April 1st, which is just in 11 days. And I hope everybody listening I'm inviting you to come out. The Speedrome is going to be an awesome, awesome time for your families, for your friends. Come out, experience what we've done, what we're doing, and tell a friend. The word of mouth is going to be huge for us this year.
Definitely. And besides word of mouth, where can people find out about more? Where can they find out more about the Indianapolis Speedrome?
Well, we've got a great website with a lot of our information at www.speedrome.com. Google Speedrome. There's a lot of great pictures on the website, out on the internet. There's some really cool YouTube things that the old owner, John Stiles, has posted. I just saw 16mm footage from the early 70s from the Speedrome that I had never seen before. That just got posted on YouTube a couple weeks ago. So
wow.
There's a lot of great information out there, and they can always give us a call at the track number at 317-353-8206. But the best resource is speedrome.com, and also our Facebook page has just exploded. And since November, we've added almost 3,000 people to our Facebook page in terms of likes and shares. So we've had just an explosive growth, almost 9,200 people now who follow us on Facebook.
That's awesome. This podcast will be shared on social media as well. So anyone who missed the podcast tonight will be able to catch it. As early as tonight or tomorrow, they'll be able to catch it again if they missed anything. So, Jonathan Bird, it's been my pleasure to have you on this episode of Off the Beaten Track. And good luck on opening day on April 1st.
Well, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it. And thanks for having me. And we are just really excited about all the things of the future of the Speedrome has to offer.
Awesome. Have a great night.
You too, man. Thanks so much.
This has been Off the Beaten Track, a podcast on Blog Talk Radio. To have your track, team, or racing event on our show, just email otbtpodcast@gmail.com. That's otbtpodcast@gmail.com. Or check us out on Facebook at Off the Beaten Track. Thanks for listening.